Get your family vehicles ready for summer driving with early Memorial Day deals at Dobbs. Click on GoToDobbs.com for money saver tire and service deals today. Dobbs, with 43 locations, real deals are always close by.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
And Tanner Hendrickson, I'm Brandon Kiley. We're always happy to be joined by Eno Saris here on BK and Ferrario. He writes for The Athletic, also does great things on his podcast as well for The Athletic Podcast Network. Joins us now on 101 ESPN via the hotline. Eno, we appreciate the time as always, man. How you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Wish it was under better circumstances here in St. Louis, but one of the reasons we are calling you today is because you do great work at breaking down players across Major League Baseball. And one of those players, Jordan Walker, who was sent down yesterday by the Cardinals. When you saw the news, Eno, what was your initial reaction to the Cardinals doing basically the exact same thing that they did this time last year in sending Walker down to AAA to fix things?
I can understand it. From the perspective of the team trying to shake things up and turn things around, from the perspective of the future of the player, I think it could be a good thing because I did talk to a GM about this, and they said that they had studied the value of resets. So basically sending a struggling player back, a young player back down to the minors, and that they'd found some value in it just statistically. And I think that that value is in confidence almost more than anything else, because some of the adjustments he has to make at the major league level. It's just going to be easier if he finds success again and maybe makes some tweaks and then comes to the major leagues riding success as opposed to, pressing as he would be in the major leagues. And also regular playing time. He was losing playing time in the major leagues because all these trying to win games, I guess. And so, I think it makes sense from both sides. The one side that I just wanted to push back on was that I still have optimism for this player. And these 67 plate appearances this season do not change my entire opinion of him. For his career, he's still an above-average hitter. He makes about average contact, about average patience with top-end batted ball velocities, top-end bat speed. So that's a really good combination of things that should produce eventually somebody who can hit like 270, get on base, hit 25 to 30 homers, and his speed's non-zero too. So this is still an exciting young player. He's just hit a roadblock.
So unlike a lot of people in St. Louis, you're not ready to call Jordan Walker a bust yet?
No. I mean, for example, even this year, which has been tough, he's hit the ball 113 miles an hour. And if you look among other players that have hit the ball 113, only 20 qualified players have hit the ball more than 113 miles an hour. And I can read you some of the names: Ronald Acuna Jr., Bobby Witt Jr., Pete Alonso, Ian Happ, Ketel Marte, Mike Trout. Should I stop? I mean, none of these guys are bad.
So, go ahead, Eno.
Hitting the ball that hard, what happens is if you can hit the ball that hard, it means that you're going to hit more balls at 110 than other people. You're going to hit more balls at 105 than other people because you can hit the ball 113. So it describes your raw power. The raw power is still there. And even his barrel rate is pretty good. So he kind of lines up as somebody who has similar stats to a William Contreras. In fact, he's not that far off of a Christian Encarnacion Strand or a Pete Alonso even. So you know, those are all players that people are excited about.
So, you know, you put the tweet out yesterday talking about the pulled balls in the air and how the percentages dropped significantly for the Cardinals since Jeff Albert left. We've talked with a lot of different hitting coaches in the past and asked, like, if they feel like their role is impactful in terms of the ups and downs of the season. But do you feel like the Jeff Albert effect is what hurt the Cardinals when he left?
I don't know. It's tough to say because when they were number one in pulled fly balls while Jeff Albert was there. And when you're number one in any stat like that, I feel like it's a confluence of scouting, luck, coaching, and players, right? Like anytime you're at the top of the sport, all four of those things are going right. And some of those things are still the same with Jeff Albert gone. And I know, for example, that Nolan Arenado started pulling fly balls during Jeff Albert's tenure in St. Louis, but that he also worked with outside coaches. I know that, you know, Paul Goldschmidt started pulling fly balls in St. Louis. I don't know myself if he worked with outside coaches, but almost every hitter does now. So it's really hard to pin down and say it's because Jeff Albert left. But I will say St. Louis right now is 30th in pulled fly balls. That's bad because pulled fly balls are the best outcome in baseball. You have almost a 1,500 slugging on pulled fly balls. You get 500 to center field, 300 to opposite field. Even pulled line drives aren't as good as pulled fly balls. Pulled fly balls are the best thing in the sport, and the Cardinals are not doing it.
You know, I think sometimes it's unfortunate, but anytime you have somebody that uses data, you get put into this box of, oh, that guy's just the data guy. And you're much
and he doesn't watch the game.
Exactly. And you're so much more than that. And you talk to pitchers about their grips. Like you really dive into this game in a way that very few do. So when you say they're really low right now, they're last in pulled fly balls, I think there's probably some people on our text line that'll be like, yeah, but if you try to get everybody to pull the fly balls, now you're going to end up having them do a bunch of things that are unintended consequences. So I know it's more than that. It's about timing. It's about which pitches you're hitting and all of those different things. So how can they improve there? You know, how do they get that back on track?
There is a trade-off because to pull a fly ball, you get the ball out in front. And to get the ball out in front, sometimes it costs some strikeouts. Maybe that's what's going on with Paul Goldschmidt's strikeout rate. And obviously, there's some aging going on with that crew. And then lastly, you don't necessarily, even though I'm saying that I love pull fly balls, you don't necessarily want like Mason Wynn and Victor Scott pulling fly balls. You want them spraying the ball and getting on base, because you want the guys who have the bat speed, the batted ball, the strength to pull the fly ball into the seats, you know? So it's not like, I'm not saying it's a blanket thing. It's just, it's a window into why their power hitters are struggling. And I did sit down and talk to Lars Nootbaar about this. And he said that, you know, when you train for bat speed, it's really easy because you've got a monitor in front of you that shows your bat speed. And you can just be like, I want that thing to say 75. And so I'm going to swing hard and try to hit the ball and look at the monitor. And if it says 75, I'm going to be like, okay, that was good, you know? But when it comes to pulling fly balls, it's about getting onto plane quickly. It's about a movement in the back when you're getting that bat, you know, into the zone. And it's a lot of feel. And it's kind of hard to, like, look at the technology and say, oh, that was good. It's something where you need to kind of feel it. It's kind of an art rather than a science as much. And, you know, it's something that Nolan Arenado desperately wants to do and has not been doing as much as he has in the past. It's something that Paul Goldschmidt wants to do. It's something that Lars Nootbaar wants to do. So I know they want to do it and they're not doing it. I would assume that maybe Jeff Albert could help them. Because he's helped this team in particular do this in the past. But it's something that may just take a little bit of time.
You know, Saris does great work for The Athletic. He's joining us here on BK and Ferrario. You mentioned the two players that I wanted to ask you a question about, you know, and that's Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado. Paul Goldschmidt is 36 years old. Nolan Arenado is 33. And when you look at their slugging percentages right now, Arenado's at .390 and Goldie is slugging .278 so far this year. When you see those things and you look into the numbers, you know, what is your level of concern with guys like that are aging a bit?
Yeah, it's, what's really interesting is that they're tracking bat speed now using the technology that's available to them. It's called Hawkeye. It's, you know, all the cameras in each ballpark, and we're going to get some information about bat speed pretty soon from the home office on their data, on their stats pages. But they've been kind of leaking some out and showing some of the visualizations. And one of the visualizations they showed recently was an aging curve for bat speed. And what they showed was that after 31, bat speed starts to really drop off precipitously among hitters. Now, you have had hitters that are trying to offset that. So Mookie Betts went to the driveline and used weighted bats to increase his bat speed, knowing that he was right in that range where his bat speed would go down. I know that Nolan Arenado has trained a driveline, but I would assume that he, and I know that Paul Goldschmidt even used some weighted bats at driveline. So I know that they've tried to offset that, but there's also, you know, I've tried to offset a lot of things in my life as I've aged. I'm running a lot more than usual, and yet, you know, I'm not the skinniest I've ever been. Let's just put it that way.
And you know, so, that might be the beer, to be fair.
Yeah, right, it might be the beer. That's true. yeah, so I think they're doing the right things. There's some evidence that better days should come. Like, you know, Goldschmidt has still hit the ball 110, so it's not like he's fully fallen off. That is one of his lower max exit velocities, so it's a little bit lower than usual. But shouldn't he be able to slug at least, you know, 400, 420? Like, he should be able to get back to that 20-homer level. And I don't really see, like, an associated, like, really bad ground ball rate or anything that says to me that he's unhealthy or that something really is wrong with his swing. So I do think those guys will get better. Maybe as the weather warms, maybe as they just get used to it. You know, Arenado's still making a ton of contact, a little bit too many ground balls, hasn't hit that top end bat speed, but I kind of think these guys are going to figure it out.
You know, on a positive side, what are you seeing from Mason Winn this season on the bat side?
Yeah, I mean, he's exactly, you know, the opposite of what I've been talking about. I mean, he's doing a really good job not pulling the ball a ton. He's kind of doing this cool thing where it's almost like 30, 30, 30 everywhere. 30 pull, 30 center, 30 oppo, you know, half, like a third ground balls, a third fly balls. It's like he's doing a really good job of that. And what I like is there's a lot of guys who make as much contact as him that just swing at everything. And, you know, because they can make contact at everything, but he's doing this thing where he can make a ton of contact. His swing strike rate is one of the better ones in the league, but he's being patient too, because he knows he's a table setter. And so I have some hopes that Victor Scott can reach this kind of profile as well, because they're not that far off from each other in terms of bat speed and other things. They're obviously both really fast guys. I think it'd be kind of exciting at some point to have both these guys in the lineup. It'd be very interesting to see if that works in today's game, because they may only hit, you know, sort of 10 homers a year. But if they get on base that much, it's going to be good for the lineup. So Mason Winn, there's nothing to say that's bad about it.
Final thing on Mason Winn, I did want to ask you one follow-up. When I look at, like, the outs above average, for example, you know, it seems to be lagging with him. It's a negative two so far this year, and I'm a numbers guy, but when I see this, I just want to say watch the games, because I don't know how he's been a negative defensively for the Cardinals. When you look at a number like that, Eno, especially this early in the season for a player like Mason Winn, is that something that, like, because he gets to so many balls and maybe he ends up having a couple errors here and there that can affect a number like that early on?
Yeah, I mean, defensive numbers are far behind offensive numbers. I would say the best numbers we have are offensive numbers. Second best are pitching numbers. Very last are fielding numbers. And so we've improved them. Outs above average is one of the better ones. We're trying our best. But the real problem is this. If you are a pitcher, you can face 750 batters over the course of the season. If you're a hitter, you can get 650 plate appearances. If you're a fielder, you might get 200 or 300 chances at the ball. And you take those 200 or 300 chances, and 250 of them are atom balls, and you know, like at M, you know, like at you,
right.
that don't give you any information. So now you're talking about, okay, over the course of the season, 50 balls are going to tell me if you're a good hitter, a fielder or not. And then you divide that by six. Now we're talking that we're judging Mason Wynn on 8 to 10 balls right now. And that's just not enough.
Yep.
You know, if he booted one of those, you know, 8 to 10 balls, he's going to look bad. And that's just, that just could be luck. The ball bounced weird, it hit a rock, whatever it was, you know. So, yeah, so when I watch him, I think the eye test is still super, super valuable for defense.
Hey, you know, we appreciate the time as always, man. You make us smarter about baseball, and we certainly appreciate that. We look forward to talking with you again soon, hopefully as Jordan Walker starts to heat up and gets his way back to the big leagues.
Yeah, I think there's still a good bat in there. Thanks for having me.